So Sister Lola, as you stated, you would like to be an advocate. And I love to hear that.
Action in 45 seconds. What can the average person at this point try to do to push our state government to accomplish the goals they have laid out on climate?
So there's a number of things. I'll go really quick, but I think the most important thing you could be doing is calling. It's a little hard now with the governor, but the calling, emailing, and contacting legislators and the governor and DEC and NYSERDA, the two entities that'll be leading the climate transformation and urging them to take aggressive actions on climate, particularly not to fall for some of the corporate supported moves like renewable natural gas that will not get us to real climate transformation. And I would urge you people to visit the nyrenews.org webpage for specific details on what we're working on. And that's the coalition that Citizen Action and Working Families Party are part of.
Well, thank you, Bob Cohen. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
This is Jim Sklavounis of Grinder Man, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
Tune in to All Things Cage this Saturday night, 7 p.m., as Laura Kuhn, the executive director of the John Cage Trust, speaks with Russell Hartenberger and Gary Kivistad, longtime members of Nexus, a quartet of master percussionists, internationally known for their percussion instrument playing. And Nexus is also known for several John Cage programs at Bard College over the years, including with members of So Percussion. But tune in for Hartenberger and Kivistad to talk John Cage with Laura Kuhn from the John Cage Trust Saturday night at 7 p.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Find out where the music takes Lose on the next Deep Threes as the Jazz Ensemble brings together electric guitar, cello, and spoken word. Plus tracks from Ornette Coleman, Kronos Quartet, Portapak, and Avid Duo. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, January 22nd. This morning's lows range from 27 in Mackey to 31 in Cheviot. As of 7 a.m., highway crews are already reporting snowy conditions on the mountains and to the west. Expect spotty lake effect snow to fall through the day. No major accumulation is expected. It does get breezy this afternoon, and with a high of 38, it is wise to bundle up well if going outside. Overnight, it gets colder than it has been this week. An Arctic front moving through will drop temperatures down to 11 degrees by dawn tomorrow. Some people will need to let the taps drip overnight. Saturday and Sunday will have the potential for more lake effect snow. It will be spotty with highs in the 20s. Today's tide schedule is low at 4:06 a.m., high at 10:02 a.m., low again at 5 p.m., high again at 10:27 p.m. Sunset today will be at 4:41 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:13 a.m. Looking way up, we see a mid-latitude coronal hole is releasing a solar wind due to arrive on Monday. Solar wind speed is currently 305 kilometers per second at 12.2 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1 quiet. The current sunspot number is 26. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Hey, what's up? I am here with Phoebes, like always. Am. What's up, Phoebes? How you doing?
Hey, doing pretty good. Good to be on with you.
So it's a new week. A lot of changes in the world right now. Last week I could not make it because why couldn't I make it last week? What was it?
Was it the end of the quarter?
Right. Yes, that's what I want to speak about. The quarter ends this Friday. No, next Friday. And All right. Wait, I think is it this Friday? It's either this Friday or next week Wednesday. But basically, my chemistry teacher, because I'm like really behind on my work right now, mainly because of what I spoke on the last podcast about me like changing my space around and not being as focused and as productive as I normally would have been. But so I'm like really behind on a lot of my classes. So what she's doing with me is she wanted to speak to me that day, and what we're doing is she's like giving me a goal every day to like do an assignment or two. They are lengthy, but like, you know, it's what I have to like, what I had owed. And if I like do those assignments every day that she like gives me through the email, then she'll move an assignment that I'm missing off my grade. Like she'll like make it go away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good. I was like, oh, wow. That's a really good arrangement.
It's nice to hear when teachers are meeting. And I feel like a lot of teachers do want to meet their students if they're like willing to put forward the work, right? You still have work to do about it.
Yeah. You know?
But that's cool that she's willing to work with you on it.
Yeah, I guess if they like see you're like making a commitment to it, then, you know, they could have a little bit of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
on mm-hmm. So how you feeling? You motivated? You need to get it through?
Definitely, through it? Yeah. And also, I did a lot, like I'm doing a lot more work than I was doing before I spoke about like what the change was in my last podcast, which is good. So now I'm like actually sitting through all my classes, doing the work I'm supposed to be doing instead of like zoning off and going on my phone. So speaking about the issue definitely did help.
That's cool. I was glad to hear like actually made a difference. Like 2 weeks later, you're like, yeah, all right, back in. I mean, I'm curious, are you finding that like there's just sort of cycles to it too, and for you or other people, that's just like you're on for a little while and then like you drop off for a little bit? And
I'm not gonna lie, it might be a cycle. I think it definitely is, because it's been happening since my freshman year. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'll start off really strong at the start of the year, and like it'll kind of go down, and then I'm in this like really bad spot, but then I'll build back up and like do good again. I don't know. So it's been like that ever since my freshman year. So yeah, it definitely has to be a cycle or something.
Well, I got to figure out a way to make it through. I'm like glad to hear that. Yeah, the stuff we talked about last week, or whenever that was, actually made a difference. What were do you remember some of the suggestions that you had that are actually making a difference?
So basically, just to recap, if anyone like didn't hear like last week's, I was just basically at the beginning, I was like speaking on why I wasn't doing as good in school as I was in the beginning of the year. And I came to a conclusion, like I was like sitting down and I was like thought to myself, like maybe it's because I'm no longer in that like environment I used to be in. Because at the beginning of the school year, I used to be in my living room, but now I can't be in my living room because there are other children running around there doing their online schooling. And I don't want to be around that. And especially all the other teachers on the computer speaking. So I'm in my room now. So like I was saying, I wasn't used to like being in my room doing work, because like my room is like a space where I can like just enjoy myself and relax. So maybe that like carried my mindset over to like that area of relaxation when I was really supposed to be doing my work, but et cetera. So one suggestion was to like set up a desk area in my room, which I do have. I didn't actually sit in it yet, but it is set up. But I think because like right now I'm just like still doing it in my bed because I'm still being a little lazy. But speaking about it and telling myself to just do it did help. And I did actually just and I get out of bed and like sit in it. I don't like lay in it and do the work. I just like get up and sit on the bed to do it. So
that's a comfortable seat, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought what was really interesting that you got into with JJ in the last conversation was that, like, just how much our physical spaces impact our mental how our mental show up, you know, like kind of on a subconscious level. So even though your bed's like kind of an obvious space to sit up and do work, like there's a part of your brain that's telling your body like, rest, chill out, like take a nap, because that's what your brain associates literally yeah. with your bed. So it was kind of cool that y'all sort of like broke that down for yourselves. And then, you know, and even just being conscious of it, even if you haven't changed it yet, makes a difference too, probably, yeah. right? I think like a lot of times when we notice a subconscious pattern for ourselves, just the awareness of it can help kind of make it act a little different.
Yeah, definitely. It did help tremendously. And I'm like, I remember the first day I did start doing the work after the podcast, I was like, yay, I'm doing the work. Because like, I could not bring myself to do it before. It was just like impossible. Well, because it was harder than anything. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I was like, eh, I'll just lay it off for now and I'll just do it tomorrow. And I never got to it tomorrow.
I mean, I just want to give you a shout out for starting this podcast and like having like the where, like the knowledge, maybe you didn't even know it, but like that setting up a space for yourself where you get to just check in about what's going on with school is benefiting you, you know, like yeah. that's really powerful that you like created that kind of space for yourself. So you're like, yeah, I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to reflect on what's happening, what's going on, talk to other people about it, you know, and to hear that it's actually then impacting how you're getting through school, making a difference. It's really cool.
Yeah. And it definitely like was not intentional to like be a checking spot for me. But like now that it has kind of become one, it did, like it helps a lot. So like instead of like keeping all that in my head and like, you know, kind of like speaking on it to myself and not really acting on it because there's no one to like really like hear it and then like expect, you know, more. Now here, you know, I'm speaking to you and other people like potentially. So it's just like it's out there off my chest. And I can like act on mm-hmm. it and then update next week. It's not like, oh, I'm like all by myself. I'm going to act on it and have no accomplishment. I'm going to act on it and come to my next podcast and speak about it. So it's like I feel accomplished and I can spread that accomplishment, you know.
And you've also created more meaning to it because every time you broadcast this podcast, like me, you know, there's somebody else maybe on the other end hearing it and you're also helping them not be so alone with some of these thoughts. Yeah. And just like your polls that you do for the podcast, which I heard you got another solid outpouring of feedback on your poll this week.
Yeah, definitely. Let me share some of those right now. So the topic question was, give me a second. Okay, let me just go all the way down here. I got a lot of responses. More just came in as well as we were speaking. Okay, here we go. So my question on the poll was, do you leave your camera on or off during online classes and why? Should students get a choice? So I feel like that question came from last week's podcast where me and JJ had a little debate whether camera should be on or off. If you didn't hear that yet, feel free if you'd like to go hear the other podcast. It was very interesting. I didn't know whether to get into that, but I was into it. So
it was a great debate. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And a lot of the I think a lot of the responses were like off, but there was also a mix of like on and like I'll read them off. All right. So this first one here is off, and because I look gross almost all day, and yes, the student should have a choice. Yeah, a lot of people, including me, just don't want to have it on just because, like, most of us, like, let's be honest, we aren't getting up an hour early every morning just like we would when, like, in-person schooling was going on before Corona. We're waking up, like, 10 minutes before class and hopping on. So nobody wants to have their camera on after they just wake up. Like, I know I don't.
I feel like cameras also just, it's so much more self-conscious than when you're in person and like, you know, who's looking at you, you yeah, know, exactly. Like you have more control over yeah. how you're perceived in space when you're in person. Yeah. And cameras are, I think everybody of all ages is probably like, that's what I look like. All right. That's what I look like on camera. So it is, yeah. But it's tough, you know, like there's no, Mm-hmm, your face is right there.
I never thought about it like that. That's so true. Another reason why I want to be talking about Cameron again.
That came up with a number of responses. That was a consistent thread. So
this one says, I leave my camera off, but if a teacher asks to turn my camera on, I will. I keep my camera off because the Chromebook quality is trash. That is true. Mm. The Chromebook camera quality, the people, it makes the room look very dark. No matter what your lighting is, it makes it look very dark. It looks like very pixelated.
Just, you know, all that money Google has, they can't get all the schools like top of the line Chromebooks. Come on now.
Right. This person said no. Okay, right. Okay. This other person says, some classes in college, you don't have a choice. It's a part of your participation. So in those classes, I use my camera. Other than that, I like to have it off because I feel uncomfortable having it on with everyone just watching me. Yeah, it does get weird. That's why I started to turn it off. I was just like, everybody's just looking at me. Because, like, not to be like that, but I know I did my fair share of looking just to, like, examine everybody. It's like, how's everybody doing? Like, so, like, the thought that
everybody... You're like, somebody else is doing the same thing.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, let me not. Because, you know, I haven't seen them since, like, ever. So I'm just like, let me just examine real quick. This one says off because I don't want to be distracted with how I look. I can see that. Like, I can see, like, some people will spend more time worrying about how they look on the camera versus focusing on their work, if you know what I mean.
Definitely.
Like, let me fix my hair real quick instead of writing on this question because I look kind of crazy right now, or let me just move this out the way or this out the way, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So it's distracting from learning in that situation, which, you know, it's what we're trying. I think that was the debate, was like, does it actually help with learning, you know? And it sounds like in that example, like, no, not if you're distracted staring at yourself on your camera for half the class.
I had to think about it. I was doing that a lot too. I would always look at my camera to make sure there wasn't anything in the background or anything on my face or my hair. Like, I would always just look over every few seconds. Like, I never thought about it like that.
That's true. Every time you do that, it's like your brain's thinking about something other than geometry or whatever class you're in.
Right. This person said, in certain classes like geometry, I'll leave it on because the teacher is strict about it. Other than that, I turn my camera on in other classes when I please. We should have a choice. Sometimes it can be a real privacy violation. Right. That's what I was speaking on the last podcast in the debate, like the privacy issue.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And now other people are saying it, so you know it's a problem. But yeah, a lot of the teachers that are strict about the cameras, I have one that's strict about it, or he used to be. Now he really just doesn't care, but he kind of does. But I just like, I'm just like, whatever, I'm not going to like be hassled about a camera. Like, don't even ask me about it again. Just know I'm going to like have it off. Like, don't ask me about it again, please. Like, my science teacher did ask for him to be on if we're having like a quiz or something. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll turn it on for like 5 minutes and then turn it back off for the rest of the period. But other than that, I'm not going to be forced to have a camera on. That's not how I roll. This person says, if I'm told I need it on, I'll turn it on, I guess. But if I don't need to, I don't turn it on. I guess it makes kids have more motivation knowing that they can see your whole face and you might as well do what you need to do so you can get shit done. That's kind of, I don't get what this is trying, I don't get what that person's trying to say.
I mean, it sounds to me like maybe some people are more motivated if their camera's on because they know they're more accountable to like stay in their seat or whatever. But it also sounds like they're saying like, just do what you need to do to get your work done. You know, like that's maybe why they think having a choice is helpful.
Yeah. This person said off. I'm still in bed until like 12. I look like crap and it's harder for me to constrain myself because of social anxiety. Right. Like I was saying, a lot of the kids aren't even getting out of bed until like 12 o'clock. So like, nobody wants a camera on after they're just sitting at the bed while they're in bed. That's weird.
bring up social anxiety specifically is, like, you know, important to recognize, like, A, in terms of, like, actual protections for students and, like, mental health, right? Like, there's something to be said for, like, recognizing anxiety is like it's like a mental health need, right? Like, yeah. It's important to honor that as a real reason to give somebody an accommodation, like having their camera off. And it reminds me of what you were talking about last week with, like, the subtleties with which bullying can happen, mm-hmm. even in virtual environment. And, like, so if somebody knows or has concern about that, like, their anxiety might be made up of the dynamics that only they can really understand what happened with their camera on, right? And that, like, it's important that they're not put in that position.
Yeah, and the teachers would say, like, no pictures in class, but how are you going to know if you're taking a picture? Even with the camera on.
Screenshots,
like,
right?
They can have it on the side and zoom in, like, hello. Like, that's not going to help anything. Don't take a picture. Like, what? That doesn't help anything. And, like, the social anxiety aspect, like, a lot of people think that's just, like, outside of real life. No, it can be online, too. I think that's just...
sounds like maybe even worse for some people online.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, I think online, getting hate is more accessible to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Versus in a classroom where there's, like, a teacher around and they can't really, like, do it, like, directly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it doesn't happen directly, but I feel like online it's more accessible to do it, and it's more
easier. Maybe is that harder to defend yourself too?
Online?
Yeah.
I actually don't know. Would it be? I mean, I guess it kind of depends on the platform.
Yeah,
it might be harder online because, like, what if it's, like, on, like, Instagram or something, and, like, you don't want to, like, say something in the comments because other people are going to say stuff to back to you in the comments, and you're going to feel, like, ganged up on in the comments, I guess. So I feel like it could be, I guess it depends on the platform.
I just think there's this way when you're in person with people in a confrontation, like, the energetics of that confrontation, like, kind of work themselves toward at some point, like, all right, we're gonna de-escalate this or, like, move on or whatever. Yeah. But online, it can just, like, go for so long, right? And, like, people don't have to, no one actually sees or feels the impact of their words on a person, right? Yeah. Like, that to me is why online bullying is really scary and why I think it's gotten so intense, right?
Yeah.
Is that, like, you're not responsible for having any idea what impact your words have on the person that you're talking to, which is very different than real life. And I think there are people who, like, do change their behaviors because they start to feel some shame about doing something to somebody, right?
Yeah.
If you never actually see the consequences of that, why would you change, you know?
Yeah, right. Glad you brought that up, because I needed to be spoken about. Sorry for the yawn, jeez.
it's honest, though, right?
Long week. this person says, I leave my camera off because sometimes I look crazy in the mornings. Yes, students should have a choice. Yep, back to what I was saying about people not wanting a camera in the morning. Off, because there is really no point for it to be on. If you spoke to your teacher, technically they know you're there, I guess. That's what my whole issue was. I'm like, why do I have to have my camera on if I'm literally speaking to you the whole time? Like, back when I used to be, like, really productive, they still used to, like, force people to have the camera on. I'm just like, I'm speaking to you the whole time. You know I'm here. Like, and if I'm responding to your question and I'm getting answered what you want answered, I'm obviously paying attention. So that's kind of like, what? This person says, I leave mine off in some classes because the teachers allow it. Students should have a choice because it is their home and they are in... it is their home that they are in and their privacy that should not be invaded. Also, it's bad enough we have to be at home for school, so... Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Just let
us... Give us something off. Here. Yeah.
This person says, this is the two part. This person says, I leave mine on most of the time. I have an argument for both, leaving it off and turning it on. I get where the teachers are coming from by asking us to leave them on because that's the only way they can ensure students are paying attention. But I also think it is very stressful having my camera on. I hate that people can see my room and my house and me, and I still have to get up and get ready every morning because my camera needs to be on. Students should be allowed to leave their cameras off, but be made to click the hand raise button when the teacher asks so they can prove they are still there. I think that is the only solution. I see both mm-hmm. perspectives, honestly. Yeah. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that point about, like, having other... I appreciate this, like, person being willing to put forward, like, you know, a different solution to what the teachers need are, right? Like, yeah. They're like, all right, teacher, if you need to have a way to just, like, check that we're available, like... be like, hey, raise your hand, right? Yeah. Like, that's a way you can still know someone's in their seat and listening without using the camera. So, like, to me, that's just, like, you know, I appreciate a student being like, yo, like, a lot of times I think schools just make rules because they think that's the best way to get an outcome. And it's like, well, you could still maybe get the outcome you need, but work with the students, you know, because they have a lot of legitimate concerns, too.
Right. And, like, also the part about them seeing their home and their room and them. It's, like, it's the whole privacy part. Not everybody wants the inside of the house shown. Like, what?
Mm-hmm. That's weird. Mm-hmm.
Like, you aren't going to bring some random, like... All right, well, okay. But, like, the kids in your school, they are random people, to be honest. Let's just say that. Like, you, like, know them, but, you know... So
yeah, you're not inviting them all over to your house.
You're not gonna bring some random person over to your house, like mm-hmm. especially one you don't talk to. So why are you gonna like you're doing that basically when you show them inside out on the camera and they're like invited in without consent? It's just like okay, yeah, it's kind of weird, but.
Mm-hmm. yep.
Someone said I keep it off because what's the point of having it on? The teachers can. Have cameras on at the start and an assignment due within the period for attendance. I don't mind that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Having
mm-hmm.
an assignment at the beginning.
Yeah,
of
like
class,
touch points.
And then, yeah.
I do that a lot when we're doing stuff with Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be like, we're on the virtual together. And then I'll be like, all right, go take 15 minutes, like work on the thing, check back in with me. You know, it doesn't have to always. The learning experience doesn't have to always just be sitting at the screen talking, you know?
Right.
I think it's helpful when there's like a, like use the tool again, right? Like use the tool in different ways. I think we're all like fairly used to just the basic technology of like, oh, we're on a camera together. But a lot of this technology does have other tools and ways that you can communicate and touch in with people. So yeah, I like that idea.
A lot of good points.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I leave mine off because my teachers don't make me leave it on. So, yes, I think students should get a choice.
Okay.
And this one says off because I'm insecure. Valid.
Yep.
Now everybody wants to have their face shown. Someone said, I keep it off whenever I can. I believe students should be able to choose. When other people look at them, I know for a damn fact I don't want to roll out of bed and let people see me like that. Like I was saying, nobody wants that. Like, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
That just put me in a bad mood the rest of the day. It's like, I just rolled out of bed and everyone's just looking at me. But I don't show up to school like that. So why would I want to be on a camera like that? And that was the last one. Those are some really good points.
Yeah, definitely. Let's
see. I would have gotten more responses, but I did post this like 12 o'clock in the afternoon, but that was a lot of stuff to work with, actually.
If anyone's listening, do you want to let them know how they can also give you feedback or follow your polls?
Oh, yep. If you'd like to send feedback or follow my polls, you can send me an email at schoolduringcorona@gmail.com. schoolduringcorona@gmail.com. Thank you. And also, some people don't know how to spell Corona. I know I didn't to begin with. It's Corona. I used to spell it C-A-R-A-N or something. I don't know. But yeah. And you sent me this article about an SAT change, right?
Yeah, there's a video in there. If you can play it or could just talk about it. But yeah, it was, you know, it's not, they're taking away some of the different parts of the, it sounds like they're kind of streamlining the tests, but it's kind of raising, like, I think a whole bigger set of questions about how relevant, I mean, the SAT, I think, has been under fire for a long time about whether or not it's a useful tool.
Yeah.
In general. So, you know, I think to me, just the fact that something like the SAT, that's just sort of like so consistent, like everything is kind of up in the air right now, it seems like, you know, with schools and with colleges and the process. And yeah, and like one of the things that they're getting rid of is the individual, like the essay part.
Yeah, I know about that.
And one of the things that has been brought up is that it's a fairly new part, and one of the reasons they said they brought it in is because it was supposed to help make the test more equitable, because it's a place where people can like show more of their person. I don't know exactly, but that was like basically what the SAT's made some changes recently that was supposed to be helping, like, with the critique that it was it's a biased test, right? Like people with a higher socioeconomic status who have access to, like, you know, different schools or prep classes or whatever are going to end up doing better, because, you know, the more you study for the test, like, goes up.
Yeah.
And that it's not just a straight, like, intelligence test by any means, you know? Yeah. it's Wait, just so not.
You said that they said they brought the essays into what? Like,
so the essays were something that were brought in with some other things that they felt would help equalize some of that it would, like, that the essay would be the sort of thing where, you know, if a student was, I don't know, I can't remember exactly the logic, because I don't exactly remember what the essay prompt is. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I should have been more prepared, but,
no, you're
yeah, but, like, there was something about that piece being, like, they thought it would be helpful with actually, like, students could speak to their own experience differently, or the test reviewers could differentiate between students differently. But it all just kind of, honestly, like, a year ago or so, I feel like when the SAT was going through all these changes, I was sort of like, y'all are just trying to, like, add more complexity to this test to make its fundamental problems better, when it's like, if you just have fundamental problems, why is this still the tool we're using? And the other thing the video said too, that maybe is the bigger point, is a number of colleges are actually just, like, skipping it at this point because of COVID and saying it's not required with applications. And so it's actually an interesting point in time for, like, you and other people thinking about college. Like, I think in some ways it might be an easier process of applying for some of these places right now, just because they're making different accommodations for COVID. And at the same time, it's a really hard time I imagine to even be thinking about college applications in the traditional way that, you know, you might have when you were at school. So I guess maybe that's my question for you, and, like, what you're hearing from other people is, like, is anything changing in just how you're thinking about the pathway to college and going to college and, you know, those sorts of issues with everything going on with COVID and the world being so kind of uncertain around school?
Well, I graduate next year, 2022. I'm definitely still going to college. I'm just concerned that they're gonna, you know, how they look at, like, 11th grade the most. I'm in my 11th year during this COVID thing, and, like, my grades aren't the hottest, neither is, like, most of my schools.
So I guess this is where I think, though, I bet a lot of students feel that way, and I wonder if that's going to, I don't know, do you think that'll make students less likely to go for, like, applying for colleges that they might have or things like that?
I kind of do feel like I can't talk. I feel like the college, I don't know how you say this, but I'm going to say it like this. I feel like the college application rate is going to go down when our, like, when the class of 2022 or maybe 2023 maybe apply to college, because like, or even this year's class, even though the deadline was like last week or something, right? But
right,
yeah, because it's the uncertainty of whether you'll get accepted or if it's even worth applying because your grades are this and that this year. Or yeah, so it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the place where I think though there's two sides of the same coin. Like, yeah, like everyone's grades are like, you're not gonna have all of your extracurricular activities, you're not gonna have like the same award things, you're not gonna have the grades you're used to, because it's like, you know, like it's chaos. Yeah. It's really hard to do school right now. But colleges know that, and they know admission rates are going down, and they're very motivated to keep having students coming to the schools. Mm-hmm. So I would just advise anyone who still thinks that's the right path for them, that just because your grades are down, don't sell yourself short. Anticipate that the colleges are expecting grades to be lower. And if you write a personal essay that talks about how you got through COVID and why your grades took a hit and why college is so important to you, you know, especially after this experience, or to, you know, continue, like, I think people will actually be competitive, maybe even more competitive for schools than you would have been even though your grades are lower. Right. So I just like, I'm glad I asked, because I was like, is that keeping kids maybe from thinking they should apply to like their dream school that they were hoping to go to? And like, I don't think your grades going down should be a reason not to apply. Like, there's a lot, schools are going to expect that. I don't think that's going to necessarily take away from the schools recognizing that you are somebody who could really do well, right? That's what they want to know. Are you somebody who can actually succeed here? Is what most college admissions are trying to figure out. So grades are just a tiny part of that story.
Yeah, and also I have a lot of friends in college right now. You know, even like Phoebe said, anticipate that they're expecting lower grades. And even if you don't get into your like dream college or anything, just like know that a lot of my friends and their friends and, you know, their friends' friends in college are saying like, the college you go to doesn't matter. Like, you can spend like $100,000 on tuition, but you're still gonna have the same education. So don't like freak out you're not getting into Harvard or anything like that this year.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you're learning the same stuff. You're only just really paying just extra for like the dorms and experience. So yeah, don't look stressed. Because stress doesn't get you anywhere.
True.
I haven't looked at this year. So I stopped stressing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm, how do you stop stressing? I feel like anytime somebody says, just stop stressing, they're like, it doesn't work that way.
I just stop. You know, it was like a process. I guess the first step was like a realization. The second step was like the action, you know, where I like, I took a break from things for like a week. And then the other step after that was just like saying, okay, let's not get to that point again. Just like not care about that thing. Not in like a bad way. You know, it was like just me like not caring about like the teachers, like one of my camera on, because I was causing unnecessary stress because I don't want to hear them every morning, turn your camera on, or like have to worry about them like taking off like the points for like the day from my participation. I was just like, you know what? I'm not even gonna stress about that. It's whatever. And now I'm just like stress free right now. At this point, I'm stress free.
Yes. Cause like, that's a powerful thing to say.
Yeah, life's good. My birthday's in 2 months. I get my car in April.
Hey, that is exciting.
Yeah. So it's not stressful right now for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Respect all of that.
Other than school, I guess, in college. But, you know, I can't do anything like that, really. So it's just, like, try to improve my grades. If that doesn't really happen, then don't stress about it for me.
Yeah, I think the way stress management in college happens, like, you're really well adapted for. Because it is really about being able to manage yourself. Like, the school doesn't, unlike high school, right, where it's, like, very structured. And you, like, college, you got to manage your own time differently. But you have a lot of it. You have a lot of freedom differently, mm-hmm. which can be really cool. So if you're the kind of person who can use that to your advantage, right, and stay on top of things. Mm-hmm. Like, college can be a really liberating experience, for sure. It can also be easy to get lost in. But yeah, I think knowing you and like the way you're just are very self-aware and also really good at like figuring out practical ways to then deal with the things that you're self-aware about, is like, you'll thrive in any environment. But like, yeah, those are really key skills, I think, for navigating college.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because I'm almost there. Got 2022. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go.
You thinking at all about like majors and stuff majors? Like that? Like,
I was at a point, but then I just kind of forgot about it. I really need to, though, because I don't want to be like, I guess there's nothing wrong with like having like to like think about it in the year you're graduating. But I want to kind of have it like figured out, so I'm not like at the application page, like what I want to do. And then I don't want to like rush it, like I don't want to rush it, like, into a major because I don't know what I'm doing and then like not like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Like, you don't even need to know on your application what your major would be. Like,
oh, really?
No. Like, sometimes they, you know, they want to know, I think. What you would need to know is if there's, like, a specialty program or something, right? But most colleges, you can get there, take a year, figure out what you want your major to be. I think they want to get a sense of, like, what motivates your learning, right? What motivates, like, what types of things would you want to learn about and why, you know? But it's not like you need to know what your whole path is. And a lot of colleges really want, you know, young people to, like, take their time, you know, to declare a major and to try a lot of things first. So I think that's, like, that's totally chill. You don't need to worry about having that all figured out, except for if there is something that you're really passionate about or you know you want to be able to study, you want to apply to schools that's available at. So that's kind of the level of thinking that's important at this stage. Uh-huh. Is like, if you wanted to be a photography major, right, that is more specialty. So you might want to pick a different college or apply to different colleges for, and maybe you get there and you're like, oh, never mind, that's not what I'm into. I'm going to be a philosophy major. That's fine too. But like, if there's something you know you want to try, then you definitely want to figure out if those schools offer those things.
Gotcha. It's exciting. I'm almost an adult.
Yeah.
I got 2 more years. I'll be 18 in 2023.
Are there any things when you would think about like having 2 years left that like matter to you? Like, are things that maybe you thought would be an important part of high school experience, but now you're like, who knows, COVID? But yeah, like when it's gone, it's done. Is there anything you're like excited or would miss, or you're just like, nah, get me through this?
Okay, well, one thing I won't miss is like the high school scene. It's really toxic. I don't like it, but I don't mind it. You know, I like it, but you know, after the mask and like after I leave, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the atmosphere is just
yeah.
Having friends in high school is important, I guess. But, like, after that, I already know I'm not going to talk to half the people I talk to now after high school. So, like, my, like, really good friends that are, like, of course. And, like, even the ones that are really talented and, like, are doing these theater majors and stuff, I'm going to be in contact with them for a while. Because, like, we have a lot of things in common. And we, like, relate to stuff. And we're, like, always in touch. So I feel like that'll be alive for quite a minute. But, like, you know, like, you're, like, associate you say hi to her in the hallway, like, every so often. Or, like, you know, your class clown you say something to. You're not going to be in contact with them after high school. So
right.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, it's funny, like, now for me, like, in my 30s, to be like, oh, look at this person from high school who's back in my life. Like, weird stuff like that happens. Uh-huh. But, yeah, I was very much, like, new headspace, new place, and like it was fun. It was exciting, you know.
Yeah. One thing that I would like was like a class reunion. Is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm.
Are those actually a thing, or is it just in movies? I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It happens in real life. I believe. I didn't go to mine. It really comes down to, like, is there that person who's going to be motivated enough from your class to organize it? You know what I mean? So like that person who was on like six clubs and like, you know, has that like, that's the one thing. Like if your class is a bunch of people who are like, nah, whatever, like maybe it may not happen.
I would only go to be nosy. Like, what's everybody doing now? Like,
It can be fun, you know. Yeah. What do you? I'm hearing you about like school being like high school being such a toxic social environment. Like,
I guess just like walking around hearing other people talk shit about other people all day is annoying.
Yeah.
Or just like being annoying and loud in class. It's like, okay, we get it. I mean, okay. So like, I used to find that really annoying, but I had to sit and think like, maybe they're not getting attention at home or they can't like express themselves at home. So they do it at school. They're all loud and like expressive, not expressive. It's always the ones that are like loud and disrespectful kind of and try to be funny. Like maybe they just don't get attention at home or they can't express themselves at home because they're like a single child and like bored all day at the house. So I try not to be judgmental on that, but it does get annoying.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that it makes for a toxic environment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's like, I wish school was a space that's like, all right, the first level of concern is like, is everyone here like healthy and well, you know, like, are we actually like addressing underlying social and emotional stuff with people? Like, are we, because I think like, it seemed like, I think everyone's instinct when there's stuff that's like, hey, can we do this in schools or we can do this in schools? They're like, well, we can't, we're too busy. Like we're already doing all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, I really feel like if you spent a third of the time that was dedicated to school more on like social, emotional, like restorative justice, like interpersonal stuff, like, you know, like focusing on that more directly, then the learning time, even if you had less of it, would probably be a lot better.
Yeah.
Because people maybe wouldn't bully each other as much and be distracted or like skipping class because they're like too anxious to go into the class or, you know, whatever it is, lashing out and ending up in the principal's office because their home life is really difficult and they're lashing out, right? Like all these things that, you know, school could be a safe place to go and get support around, and instead it somewhat feels like it's a place where anyone who's coming in with those hardships is set up for worse outcomes potentially, you know, instead of it being a space where those things can be dealt with. And I just read this like really terrible article about how it was from Florida. Surprise. I was like, about, they did a review of like police in schools, and there was a list of, I gotta get the exact language because the exact language was sort of mind blowing, of what the list was called. And this is why I don't think cops should be in schools. I feel very strongly about that. Here we go. So the Tampa Bay Times had found a bunch of documents that they, in the county police department, had created a secret list of kids that they think could, quote, fall into a life of crime. That was like the official list that they made. And it had stuff, and it was like grades were in there, like absences, right? All of these things that are indicators of stress or mental health or family issues or poverty, right? Are just all getting reduced to a list of potentially going to fall into a life of crime that's on file with the police department. It just blows my mind, and it just makes me think of how, what a shame that a school, there should be a place, the first line of safety for people with all those vulnerabilities, is instead now a pathway to the least safe response to that sort of set of issues.
Now that I think about it, that could be really damaging, because like, what if you like run into like a kid on the street, right, and he's like, I guess he throws like a piece of paper on the ground, like a wrapper, and you're a police, you're like, hey, why'd you do that, etc. and like you ask for his name and he gives it to you for whatever reason, and you go looking, you're trying to be a nosy police officer, and you look in your database and like his grades come up, and he's listed as like most likely to fall into like a life of crime. Maybe you'll like treat him more harshly for like doing that, to try to fit that little
right agenda. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Yeah. Like in some ways it's if somebody's on a list that says likely to fall into, and what does crime mean, right? Crime yeah. basically means, like, falling into a life of crime means you're involved in the criminal system, right? Like yeah. you've been caught up because of whatever's going on. And, and again, the list of things that get you on this list are not criminal.
Yeah.
It's not criminal to be delinquent in school and get in fights and whatever, you know, like it's behavior to be concerned about, certainly, but it's not criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet already it's being responded to as like, expect that this person will be caught up in the system. And it's just really a shame to me that we've gotten so far down this road in America. And so much of it was a response justified because it was about protecting from school shooters. And when I think about school shooters, like, they're just the ultimate example of a youth failed by having a lack of social and emotional and mental health services in schools, right? Like yeah. so many times it's you're just responding to a problem with something that doesn't get to the root of it at all. Right. And has all this other really damaging impact on young people's lives. Right. And I think a lot of the people who make these decisions aren't concerned about their kids being caught up with the police. Like they don't live with that risk and that fear and that knowledge that their child is likely to be seen through a criminal lens,
uh-huh.
right? Because that's just not how they, often white people in power, are like relating to that sort of dynamic. Uh-huh. But you can't ignore the reality, right? That I'm reading you, this is a news report, mm-hmm. you know? there's so many studies that have been done that show just that thousands of children basically have had their lives ruined by this in the name of keeping kids safe. Like, mm-hmm. what a shame.
Just like you said, like, that, like, having the police in the school is not, like, a solution to, like, it's not getting to the root of the problem, right? So I just mm-hmm. made a little, like, okay, so first, yeah, it's not getting to the root. They're just trying to put a barrier up, trying, emphasis on trying to put a barrier up to like stop the school shootings, right? So I kind of made a scenario in my head. I hope it makes sense. Not a scenario, like a saying, not a saying, but you, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
so like, let's say
I'm with you.
There's like, this dam that nobody takes care of, right? And occasionally the dam overflows and floods the city, right? So no one does anything to like stop the dams from like overflowing, even though there is a solution, but they just don't care enough. So like one day they put up a wall around the city, but like the wall's so high it covers the sun, and like now no one in the city gets any sun at all, and it's like really depressing and sad all the time. So instead of going to try to fix the dam, they just freaking put a wall up as a barrier and hope that it helps, when it really doesn't, because the dam, I mean the wall, like it cracks sometimes, and it's not helping anyone, basically.
So, right, you're just further away from the solution in some right. ways. Like, you've locked yourself in,
yeah,
and you just made yourself vulnerable in a new way yeah. to something. Yeah, that's a great. I think that would be called a fable.
Oh, fable, right.
It's like
right.
stories that teach a message. I think right. you're writing a fable. That's impressive.
it just came
I like
up.
It.
Thank you.
I see you.
I don't know where it came
English.
From.
English. Like, right. Give this man top marks in English. You're writing fables over here. Come on now.
It's constantly. I don't know. But yeah.
All right.
That was a good conversation about the police in schools, because a lot of the students don't like that, and I don't either. It's just so weird, like, seeing them walk around. It's like, why are you here? Like,
mm-hmm.
like, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this mm-hmm. one kid, he was ready because he was like raising his voice at the principal because he felt disrespected, and the police was like, lower your voice, and started walking towards him. Like, sit down.
Wow. Like,
nobody wants to be around that all day. It's not like he was, yeah. like, it's not like he was like close to him or like trying to hit him.
Right.
He was a half across the room.
Mm-hmm. They're told that they're there to deal with the only extreme situations. But what's a person also like going to do if they're sitting around all day? They're going to find something to do, you know? Right. And so there's that mission creep, right? They start to get involved in more and more in different stuff. And it is toxic because, I mean, it's just a simple question. Do we as a society want to have our children policed with armed officers in our schools? Is that the best solution to school behavior? Mm-hmm. It's like, do you want the police to be around the neighborhood when your kid like is squabbling with a kid in the backyard? You definitely don't want a police officer, right, to be the first person who goes to break up that squabble. You yeah. want to be the first person to break up that squabble, probably, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have the ability to protect your child when they're in school. You expect schools to protect your children, and yeah. they're not, in my mind, when they let this be the solution, the wrong solution to wow. something that should be dealt with, but this is not the right solution. So.
Also, like, let me just like say, like, I've seen enough school fights to know that the teachers can handle it. You don't need police. But, you know, like, they never, in my experiences, escalate to the point where you need a police officer. Like, they'll be fighting, right? But it's not like drastic, you know? It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like, I feel like having a police officer, like, I feel like if you're fighting in school, which you shouldn't be doing anyways, but if for whatever reason you're fighting in school, I feel like you're safer fighting in the school versus fighting outside in the street somewhere else in a remote location, because there's a cop inside the school, so you don't want to get in trouble with the police. So you go like, you go to like a park or something that's far away.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing about policing that we recognize. It's like all you do is push things that are happening that are going to happen. Like, fistfights have happened for all of humanity, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know? But you're pushing the problem deeper into a place where it's further from being helped, right? Because people have to go hide it in fear, yeah. right? Because society only has punishment as an answer.
Yeah. It definitely is more dangerous to fight outside of school than it is to fight inside of school.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
Yeah. Makes sense, right? Mm.
mm-hmm. Yeah, another one of those side effects, right? Like, to your point, right? Yeah. Like, you don't deal with the root problem and you try to do this other thing and look at all these other outcomes that you're ending up with.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
That are not, they're, it's getting, right? You're, what you're saying you're here to help with is getting worse. So, why aren't we changing this? Right. Question mark, you know?
But, like, I guess the base point is with the police in school. I guess the only reason is to stop school shootings, which I guess is okay. But, you know, like that, like we were saying, get to the root of the problem. You can't just put up a barrier and, like, you're sitting around trying to, like, do other things. Like you're not going to find anything else to do. Like, no one's going to fight knowing there's a police officer in the school. Like, they're going to go outside, like, after school or, before school or, like, in the middle of the night and fight or something. Like, that's just, it doesn't help anyone. So, definitely not the cop, because there's nothing to do. They just walk around all day looking dumb, to be honest. Like, oh, I can't.
But, I'm sure it's not their favorite thing to be doing either, yeah, right?
Like, right.
I mean,
I cannot. But it is 7 o'clock. Clubhouse is about to shut down. This is a really good conversation. I'm glad I sat here this week.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Really good stuff. This YOLO was good. I'm going to post the other YOLO later tonight so I can get a lot more responses and have a greater conversation. But this was SDC, School During Corona, and I will definitely make sure to update you guys, gals, these, whatever you go by, next week on how my schooling is doing and my chemistry, which I'm doing, and other work I'm making up and catching up on, because the quarter is closing soon. So without further ado, I'll see you next week on School During Corona.